Well, there's my scripture. Let's see if we can get the rest of it up there. Okay. This morning we're going to be looking at the true treasure, Matthew chapter 6, 19 through 24. Thank you for that song. That was wonderful. Uplifting, isn't it? Amen. Amen. This passage of scripture, you know, as I studied and pondered and prayed over it this morning, there's a lot of stuff, a lot of things in this passage of scripture that really got my attention and so forth. And some sermons, as you work on them, pray on them, they come really, really easy. This one didn't come so easy. There's so much in here, and sometimes you reread it and reread it over and over and over, and finally, yes, okay, I better understand. So as we take note of a lot of things that we be brought out in this scripture today, because it's very relevant to our scripture. Jesus, all the things that Jesus dealt with and shared with us in the Sermon on the Mount, chapter 5, 6, and 7, are the things that he saw and dealt with in his day and in time. And that's why we have the scriptures today, because history don't repeat itself. We repeat history. And those things that happened back then still happens today. And that's why we have the scriptures. That's what the scripture tells us, that we have witnesses in the scriptures. We have examples of the things that we are to practice and things that we are not to practice, and behaviors and so forth, and habits. So let's look at the scripture here, beginning with verse 19. And this will carry us down right before verse 25, where it talks about the cure for anxiety. And we'll talk about that next Sunday. If you have anxiety, Jesus has a cure for that. But today we're going to be looking at verse 19 through 24, which says, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven." Store them up in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in or steal. For where your treasures is, there your heart is also. That's a profound statement, isn't it? Where your treasures is, where your treasure, there your heart will be also. And then verse 22. The eye is the lamp of the body. Think about that. See, that's what I had to ponder over and over and over on some of these scriptures to really, for me to see and identify with that, even with myself, and how to proclaim that this morning. The eye is the lamp of the body. So then, if your eye is clear, your body will be full of light. Isn't that awesome? That is awesome. Verse 23, but if your eye is bad, and I'm not talking about physically, okay? This is something spiritual going on here. Your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Something to think about, right? Something to really ponder and reflect upon. And then verse 24. No one can serve two masters. Now, Jesus says all of this to bring us to this point right here. Verse 24. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and, the KJV says, mammon. But this says wealth. Okay? So, looking at this scripture this morning, and I was thinking about this in a way that sometimes we may divide life into either spiritual or material. Sometimes we may do that or want to do that. But I want you to think about this. And this is what I had to think about myself and ponder and reflect upon it. Jesus made no such division. He didn't. In many of his parables and I preached on those 39 parables back a few months ago, and trying to reflect back on those, I do a lot of reflecting on past messages and what I'm preaching, and when I was reflecting on the parables, he made it clear that a right attitude towards wealth is a mark of true spirituality. And if you want to read about that, that's in Luke chapter 12, 13, and the following verses, and also in Luke chapter 16, 1 through 31, the whole chapter, okay? And he talks about this. Jesus does. Now, the Pharisees were covetous. They were covetous. And Luke chapter 16, verse 14, Jesus talks about that, how covetous they were, and used religion to make money. That's why he ran them out of the temple, because they was changing money and selling things for profit. So if we have the true righteousness of Christ, and that's why, seek ye first the kingdom of God and my righteousness, Jesus says, then all other things will line up and be where they're supposed to be. That's a paraphrase, but that's whatever. He will give us what we need, okay? So if we have that true righteousness of Christ, our lives then, we will have proper attitudes towards material wealth. Now, that's where material and spiritual life line up, okay? Jesus sees no division in that. We do sometimes. We try to analyze that and compare them, put them together. But Jesus sees no difference, okay? Now where did Jesus magnify? Nowhere did he magnify poverty or criticize the rightful getting of wealth. He didn't do that at all. He just put things in the right perspective, as we should see right here in the scriptures this morning. God made all things, including food. He made clothing. He made precious metals, as the Bible often talks about. God has declared all things that he has made good, right? And that's in Genesis 1:31, when he created the heavens and the earth and everything that we see, and behold, he has given us. He called them good, okay? So he wanted us to have them. He wants us to enjoy the things of life. But we have to put it in his perspective. So, in fact, he has given us, according to Timothy, 1 Timothy 6:17, richly all things to enjoy, okay? Not to take advantage of, but to enjoy in the right way. And then, it is not wrong to possess things, but it is wrong for them to possess us. Look at it that way, okay? So Jesus warned. That's what he's doing. He's warning Those then, he's warning us today, against sin of living for the things of this life, because they will not last. Will they? They will not last. He pointed out the sad consequences of covetousness and idolatry. Okay? So now, let's move on to the first phase of this message in 19 through 21, treasures in earth or heaven, as he pointed out. Jesus was saying here, this is what Jesus was saying, you can have treasures on earth or have treasures in heaven. He gives us a choice. You know, either you're going to have them on earth, if you choose that, well, that's not the good thing. But you cannot have them both, so choose which one you will value the most. That's what Jesus is saying. So Jesus said that rather than pursuing and hoarding earthly valuables and possessing, we should be storing up a collection of spiritual treasures in heaven. And I'm going to kind of explain that, because sometimes we misunderstand what treasures in heaven means. The reason why it is because the things of this world do not last. Anything you buy, right? You buy a car, what happens in a few thousand miles or less? Put them in the shop. Sometimes they just go bad and nothing you can do about it but fix them and move on or trade them. Anything, clothes, they wear out. Anything, shoes, they wear out, right? They think the things that of this world, they're going to wear out. They do not last. They're insecure and they can be stolen or crumble away from the elements, okay? So when Jesus mentioned how thieves should break in and steal them, he was right. People do that too. The word for break in literally means to dig through or dig in. And the reference here is to the man who has hoarded up his house, a little store of gold. That's what Jesus is talking about here. Only to find when he comes home to one day that the burglars have or thieves have come through his thin walls and stolen his treasures or his goods or his material things of the world. Going back to verse 20, I want us to look at verse 20. Jesus said, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. And this is where I want to explain what Jesus is talking about, and so that we won't misunderstand treasures on earth and treasures in heaven. Treasures in heaven was understood as doing good things and giving away things, money to the poor. That's a good thing, okay? It was also understood as having a good character, and that is good too. We all need a good character, right? We need to be trusted. We need honesty in our life. Nobility. We need all of these things in our lives. However, treasure in heaven is about making sure that our spiritual focus and our heart lies in the right place. That's what it means. Let me say that again. Treasure in heaven is about making sure our spiritual focus, our heart lies in the right place with God. And you see, he sees, he knows. We can't fool God. We can't put God in a box or anything like that. When we do acts of charity and show godly character, we are showing that our spiritual eyes are set on God's kingdom. And that's what Jesus is talking about here this morning. We are seeking kingdom treasure, God's treasure, rather than the earthly treasure that he forbids. He warns about. And verse 21 says, "For where our heart is, that is where our treasure truly lies." You think about that this morning. Now, I know we all here this morning have a heart for God. But you know how the world pulls and tugs on us and makes things look so good and try to make things look so permanent. And everything comes with a warranty, right? Is that warranty ever good on paper? Normally, it's not. Nowadays, you call about something that you buy that quit. You don't get nothing but a recording, right? You never get through to talk to the people about the situation. So what do most people do? They just go buy another one, get another one. Those are not the treasures Jesus is talking about, okay? Now, let's move on to the four light in the darkness. And this is very important for us to see. Because there is darkness in this world, and that darkness is sin. But Jesus is the light of this world. Amen? He is the light of this world. Jesus said, "You can be full of light or full of darkness, but you cannot be full of them both. So choose which one you will serve or allow in your life." If we can imagine the eyes are the windows to the soul. I was thinking about this morning and this week as I was thinking about this message. If we could even imagine and reflect and meditate upon this, the eyes are the windows to the soul. And that's what Jesus is saying here. Then one way of looking at what Jesus has said is that we can know something about a person's spiritual character by their eyes and expression, which could simply mean that we can know something about someone by his or her fruit and outward behavior. You know what? Psychologists and so forth and all professions, they study body motions because they can tell, you know, if you're telling the truth or if you're uncomfortable or something of that nature. And Jesus is saying the eyes are the windows to your soul. Here in the scripture here this morning. So then Jesus said, "The light which gets into any man's heart and soul being depends on the spiritual state of the eyes through which it passes." You know why? Because the eye is the window of the whole body. That's what Jesus said. The eyes. Is the window of the whole body. Now that's going to make you ponder and think this about this message and about this scripture. It did. I put a lot of thought and consideration and discernment into this and see what exactly is Jesus talking about when it comes to the spiritual nature of our lives and our eyes and our soul, our heart, and all of these things that are very important to God. Therefore, it is not so much a matter of the eye revealing one's spiritual condition as it is the eye determining and directing one's spiritual condition. And that's something to think about. So what did Jesus have in mind when he said, "Therefore, if your eye is good," in verse 22, if your eye is good. Now, I want you to think about this here for a minute. The word good can be translated as generous. And when you look these words up and look them up in Greek and so forth like that, it has a particular meaning. And Jesus was meaning that, you know, the good, it is translated as generous, which meaning payment of something due generously or on time. Now, again, the word good can also be translated as single. English only has 12 tenses, 6, and Greek has 12. That's why you get so many different meanings when you're reading and trying to discern what the Scriptures is telling us. So, if that's so, which refers to having a singular focus as opposed to seeing an object as appearing in two or two places. That's why Jesus says, just narrow the stand. Just look at singular and still be having double vision. So if our eyes are healthy, if they're healthy, we can see clearly with single focus, right? I went to Dr. Younger. Everybody knows Dr. Younger. I went for my yearly checkup and so forth, sitting there waiting for him to come in. Well, they checked my eyes and everything. And they said, read the top line up there. Oh, that's no problem. And then there was like six others down. And it took me a little bit longer. But then they said, you got 20/20. I said, really? I mean, I struggled to see them, but I finally did. And they said, well, yeah, but you see 20/20. I said, okay, so whatever object's out there, it's going to take me a while to figure it out, but I still got 20/20 vision. Well, you do. I said, okay, I'll accept that. So everything went well. But you see, sometimes in life, we have to really focus. Sometimes our eyes can be deceiving, right? There's something that we see. And then when we get closer, it's not what we thought it was at all, right? How many times has your eyes deceived you? And your brain says, yeah, that's what it is. And then you get closer. Nope, that's not what it is. So Jesus has a point here on our spiritual focus. And that's why we need to read and study the Bible so that we will know exactly what Jesus means and how we ought to receive it and apply it in our lives. And then if the eyes are diseased, they may even be blurred. Now, that picture up there is meant to be blurred because that's exactly what it's talking about. And we see double and confuse, you know, our vision. Now, we keep one eye on the whoredom treasures of earth and roll the others proudly up to heaven. You know, and that's seeing double or double blindness. You know, and your eyes are okay. That picture is blurred for a reason. And that's what Jesus is talking about. You're seeing double, or double mindedness will also, and that's what we're going to be looking at here in verse 24. Okay? Which is serving God or mammon or wealth. So Jesus was saying here, you can serve God or serve mammon, but you cannot serve them both. So choose which one you will master. As I was reflecting on this message, it kind of took me to Revelation chapter 3, the seven churches, the last church of Laodicea, where Jesus said you can't sit on the fence. I either want you hot or I want you cold. You can't be lukewarm. And it's exactly what Jesus is saying here in this scripture. Mammon is said to be a Chaldee or Sumerian word for the money god. That's how they saw it. There's also an Aramaic word, manana, which means wealth or profit. And the Babylonian, if you look this up also, Mima, which means anything at all. So Jesus was saying, you cannot serve both God and money. You cannot serve both God and possessions. And you cannot serve both God and anything else you want. Those are the three things that Jesus is talking about here. Now, in closing here this morning, if our spiritual double vision leads to double-mindedness, double vision, being unable to discern between serving God or following the world, being unable to discern between right and wrong, we are not only we stumble or we limp, we are just helpless trying to get along. Like those riding the fence between Baal and God in what I was describing in Revelation chapter 3. We can't do that. But we will fall spiritually as we will be unable to even stand. It has been said, if you stand for nothing, you will fall for anything. Is that right? But you got to take a stand for the good. If you stand for anything, then you're going to fall for anything. But stand for the good. See, everything that God ever made, everything that God spoke in word, whatever he breathed, inspired, is good. And we need to see it as good, and we need to make it good in our life. That's what he is wanting us to do. So let us be certain to narrow down our focus and stand on what matters in this life, which is storing up treasures in heaven by serving God and by serving others. That's the key, isn't it? I've challenged you to go home today and reread this scripture and see how it speaks to you. I'm going to be doing the same thing. I'll reread this and I like to reread after I share a message. I like to go back and make sure I didn't miss anything. And if I did, I said, Lord, I'm sorry. I overlooked that. But I'll fit it in somewhere in another message and somehow. But it's very important that we store up treasures in heaven. And again, the verse that Jesus spoke, we ain't got to it yet, but Matthew 6:33 is what? You know it? You know it, huh? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and my righteousness. If you do all of that, all these other things will be added to you. So it is the focus. The eye is to the soul of our heart. We see clearly. Seeing clearly is a great thing, isn't it? If you're not seeing clearly physically, then we can get in trouble, make fall, or something tragic can happen. Same with our spiritual life if we're not focused on God. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for this message. Thank you that you speak clearly to us. You don't hold anything back, but you do it in the spirit of love, that we might understand, we might behold your goodness and behold your mercy, behold your truth. It's wonderful. And how that we can apply it to our lives, Lord, is will help us to better understand that our life is worth something. It was worth something because you was willing to die on the cross. That death is not the end. But salvation in Jesus Christ is the very beginning of new life. Life eternally. So this morning, may we think about what's been spoken this morning through your scriptures, and we make an evaluation, examine our own vision to make sure we're not seeing double, that we have the right perspective, your perspective, on the spiritual treasures of heaven and where we ought to store our treasure. Thank you, Lord, for illuminating our hearts and that we be receptive to your gentle spirit. We praise you and we thank you in Christ's name. Amen. Let us stand as we sing our hymn of invitation this morning.